We're going to begin reading tonight in verse number 12 of Romans chapter number 5. Verse number 12 of Romans chapter number 5. The Bible said, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Verse 13 kind of struck me in a way that I don't know that it ever has before, but let's look at it. "For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of that was to come, of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of many, of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sins, so is the gift for judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." Pray with us a moment. Father, thank you for the reading of the Word of God tonight. Lord, these truths are so precious and dear to the believer's heart. Lord, just to be able to understand a little bit of what one soul was worth to you and what you were willing to do, what you were willing to give, that one precious soul could be redeemed. And I pray, Father, that you'll help us tonight as we look into the Word of God, stir our hearts. And Lord, I pray tonight that Jesus would just manifest his presence among us. I thought about the pastor last week, Lord, in the little tent meeting that said we're just a little church. But Lord, when Jesus is there, Lord, it's no longer just a little church. There can be a bunch of people without Jesus, and it's not a church at all. But Lord, you said where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I pray you'd bless our gathering tonight, Lord. Those that are, Lord, battling physical ailments tonight, both here and those, Lord, that couldn't come tonight because of the surgeries and the testing and the different things going on. I pray you'd bless them where they are. Help us, our Father, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. There's a couple of things tonight I want to look at in these verses. And I think that it kind of two things will wrap up the verses in the remainder of chapter number 5. The first thing I want to look at is the root of mankind's sin. And the second thing I want to look at is the redemption by mankind's Savior. There's a root here. The Word of God said, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world." You'd be surprised in presenting the gospel message how many times I've asked someone, "Do you know who that one man is?" And they don't know. Now, they get it after you tell them, after you tell them that that was Adam. I've always, kind of kiddingly, when I introduce my wife, I just tell people, if you can't remember her name, just remember where all the trouble started. And then she will kindly tell that individual that I said that to, but God held Adam accountable. Amen. And so tonight, through Adam and his sin, the sin nature's passed on from generation to generation. One old preacher said it like this. He said, if you don't believe in the sin nature, he said, put two babies in one crib and give them one bottle. You'll find out in just a little while there's something called the sin nature. Never have to teach a child to be jealous. You never have to teach a child to be selfish. You never have to teach a child to steal or to lie. Amen. I mean, right now, even as we speak, some of my grandchildren, very young age, are learning how to tell that whopper, amen, and I'm not talking about Burger King either, amen, making up stories and got a great imagination, but when you tell it for the truth, it's a lie, amen. And so the Apostle Paul is telling us that there's a problem, and the problem is all roots and stems in one man's disobedience. That man was Adam. But thank God, because of the way that it's lined up in Scripture, if there's a problem that's brought about by one man, there's a solution that we can see that's going to be brought about by one man. I know this is elementary in some ways, but I do believe that the born-again believer, if we keep a fresh heart towards souls, we would have to keep a fresh heart towards these truths that every soul needs a Savior. That it doesn't matter whether that person is a murderer or a rapist, or if they live up on the hill and never been drunk, never done any drugs, never stole anything. Because of Adam's sin, death has reigned upon all men. And so all have sinned. I believe it's important tonight to understand a couple of things here. The presence of sin. When Adam disobeyed God, and Eve, of course, took of the fruit of the tree, and then Adam was with her, it said. And he took, and God did hold him accountable, and it plunged the whole human race into sin. I want to say something tonight. There's no way that you could believe that and believe in evolution. Think about what I'm just talking about tonight. Amen. There's no way that you could believe just this one simple truth, that by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death is passed on upon all men. There's no way you could believe that and believe in the quote-unquote theory of evolution. We believe tonight strongly that God created us, that he went down and got some dust, he picked it up, he made a man, and he breathed into that man's nostrils the breath of life. And he made us in his own image. And I don't know, you know, if it kind of makes sense to me when you're talking about own image, a triune being. Mankind is made up of body, soul, and spirit. And our God is a triune being, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And I believe in the book of Genesis when he said, let us make man in our own image. I believe they were all there, amen. And I believe the Bible account to be true and to be precious. The presence of sin in the garden. But then there was the penalty of sin. You remember God told them, the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. And I don't know about you, but in talking to people, you will never find many people that are lost. I would say there are some people that even that are saved that have no idea what the second death is about. But Adam didn't die physically that day, But spiritually, something happened in his heart, and something happened in his life. He went to hiding from God. And all of us can remember a time in our life when that's what we were doing, amen? And we hide in different ways and use different avenues to try to hide from God. But God, when he said to Adam, "Where art thou?" It wasn't because God didn't know where he was. It was because God wanted Adam to know where he was. And God wanted Adam to admit where he was. I believe that's the first step to getting help. I remember years ago, a preacher said, aren't you worried about these people that's always running to the altar? And another preacher said, no, I'm worried about them that never need the altar. Amen. I believe the closer that a person walks with God, that the more they understand their need. Amen. And because of this old nature, this Adamic nature, wherefore as by sin, one man's sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now in verse number 13, this is kind of something that just to think about. I mean, for until the law, sin was in the world. In other words, we already see just in the first two brothers, in Cain and Abel, that somebody dies. And that's the result of sin. That's the penalty of sin, death. But death in the Bible is two things. It's physical death, but it's also spiritual death. That's what the second death is described. In the book of Revelation, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. I believe it's a good thing to bring up when you're talking to someone that's lost. And I always try to tell them, you know, it looks to me like it's important that your name be found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And there's only one way that can happen, amen, and that's through and by the grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. But it looks to me here, I don't know, I'll know when I get home to heaven, but it looks to me like that until the law came, they experienced that first death. But I'm not sure, Brother Steve. I can't say with authority. Why is God putting this here? He's putting it here for a reason. He said, until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed where there is no law. Even when you think about Cain, you know, when the law comes along later, what would have happened to Cain if he had done what he'd done to his brother? When the law come along, Cain's life would have been taken. Is that not right? Amen? I believe that's right. But God let him go over there, and he was a vagabond, so to speak, in the world. And so they did experience death as far as we see the physical death. But I'm just not sure. God put that there until the law was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there's no law. So it looks to me like that sin was not charged to their account. I don't know. I'm not going to be dogmatic about it. But I've never really even thought about that before until I read that verse. In other words, if you go out here on the highway and there's no speed limit sign, how could in other words, just because you're in a section of the highway that doesn't have a speed limit sign, there's a speed limit sign somewhere, and you know, you go into a lot of towns and it'll say the speed limit's 30 miles an hour unless otherwise posted. You understand what I mean? But there's a sign. But how could a police officer justify writing you a ticket if there's no guidelines? In other words, if there's no a law that says you're supposed to drive on this side of the road, then why would you get a ticket for driving on the other side of the road? And so we see it's important that the law did come. And the law actually was, the Bible said, that schoolmaster that was not just to pronounce us guilty, but to point us towards the one that could forgive us, to point us toward the one who had grace and had redemption for us. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. So we see here in the Word of God that they did die, just like Adam died, but they did not transgress in the same manner, but sin was passed on. It was passed on. The penalty of sin was passed on. But now, the Word of God said in verse 15, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And then I just thank the Lord that even before the problem arose, God had the solution in his heart and in his mind. That's what the Bible's talking about when it says a lamb as it was slain before the foundation of the world. And so God is already ahead of the problem with a solution by one man. I don't know about you, but what would you have done if you were presented with the problem? What kind of solution would you have come up with, or would I have come up with? Brother Steve, where it wouldn't matter if a person was young or old, male or female. It wouldn't matter what color they are. It wouldn't matter what nation they lived in. It wouldn't matter if they were very, very intelligent, or it wouldn't matter if they couldn't write their name. By the way, some of the best preachers the world's ever seen were very uneducated, amen, as far as the things of this world goes. But the Holy Ghost can take that that's little and use it in a mighty way, amen. I'm not against education, but I'm telling you what I am against. I'm against replacing a call with an education. Say amen. I believe God calls, don't you? And I believe that it's evident that he does. And so here in the Word of God, we see not only the root of mankind's sin, but we see the redemption that's taking place and that's made possible by mankind's Savior. Now, there are those that believe there's more than one way. It really bothers me when some think there's more than one way, and yet they don't line up with any of the ways. I don't understand that. If I thought there was more than one way, I'd pick one, go with it, wouldn't you? Amen. But the truth of the matter is, the Word of God teaches us that there is only one way. There's only one Savior, only one Redeemer. And the Word of God said, one man, Jesus Christ. One man, Jesus Christ. And I'm glad tonight that I'm in the company of individuals that believe that. That we don't believe there's another door. We don't believe there's another way. We don't believe, beloved, listen, that the religions and the isms of the world, and even, you know, we don't put Baptist above beloved Jesus, amen, because I believe with all of my heart that sitting on Baptist pews in America, there's lost people, and I believe sitting on Methodist pews, there's saved people. I'm just telling you that it's not the ticket or the title, but it's Jesus Christ the Lord, amen, that makes the difference in the heart and in the life. In verse 16, not as if it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. You know, I believe tonight that when the Bible says over there that if we keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, we're guilty of all. I believe when you and I got saved by the grace of God, we didn't have one or two little offenses. Amen. I believe that's what conviction really is. I don't see how a person can be under conviction and be grinning from ear to ear. I tell you, it breaks your heart, amen, when you
when you realize your guilt before God and you realize His love for you, and even though that we are guilty, He loves us. And the Word of God said, by many offenses unto justification, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. I don't know about you tonight, but when the Lord saved me, He didn't give me a little bit of grace. He gave me an abundance. I don't know if you wanted to say a boatload, a truckload, but the grace was sufficient. And the grace was plentiful. And I remember getting saved, and somebody said this to me. They said, that took a lot of courage. And I'm just telling you, at the time, it was so wonderful. God would just give me things. And I looked at that individual, Brother Kenny, and I said, courage is something a man has. I said, let's say it like this. It took a lot of grace. Amen. It took a lot of grace. But you know, it takes a lot of grace. It don't matter who we are. But God's got a lot of grace, and God's grace is abundant. Amen. It's abundant, and it brings about an abundant life. Receive the abundance of grace, and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one. In Adam's family, death reigns. But thank God in Jesus' family, deliverance reigns. Ain't that good? Amen? He delivers us tonight. And I don't know. I want to read this. I can't get it off my heart and get it off my mind if I can find it. Let me find this song tonight and read the words to this. I believe it'll be a blessing to you. Look in your songbook in 290. At 290. At 290 tonight. I'll find it in just a moment. Miss Eve, you'll remember the fella that come. I don't remember his name. He was small of stature. He wasn't a real big man. But the first time I ever heard this, I was pastoring at Hurricane Baptist Church in Wise, Virginia. And just for whatever it's worth, I've had people say to me, and I'm not saying this in a boastful way, but they would say to me, where'd you go to school? I'd always tell them, Hurricane Baptist Church in Wise, Virginia. Amen. That's what I would tell folks. And it wasn't an education, I promise you that. I was a young preacher, and just getting started, got saved when I was 27, started pastoring when I was almost 28. They voted me in when I was almost 28 years old. And this man came to the church, and he looked over at the pianist, and he said, sis, can you play? And he said the number, and Sister Sarah Catherine, she had crippling arthritis, but she could play a piano, and you'd never know there was anything wrong with her. Her feet was all drawled and just a precious saint of God. Now, she was in her 80s at the time. And she looked back at the man over here at the pulpit, and she said, sir, he was visiting our church, said, the question is not, can I play it? The question is, can you sing it? And she could get by with that, Brother Grizzle. She, you know, one of the old preachers said one time, he said, I like being old. You can pretty much say whatever you want to and get by with it. That's what he said, amen. And this is the song that he lit into. And the line in the song says, far away in the depth of my spirit tonight rolls a melody sweeter than psalm. In celestial-like strains, it unceasingly falls o'er my soul like an infinite calm. Brother Steve and I were talking a while ago, this world's rocking and reeling, and God only knows what's going to happen and where it's going to happen. But all down inside of me, amen, there was another Adam. That last Adam took care of the first Adam, and he put a peace in my heart. And then the songwriter said, peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above, sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. I say to you tonight, there's only one way. You can have religion without peace. But you can't have Jesus without peace. Amen. You can be a Pharisee and not have any peace. You can get the outside all fixed up, pruned up, amen, fool everybody. But I tell you, if you've been saved by the grace of God, you know what it is to have peace right there in your heart and in your life. Because one man, death reigned by one, but thank God deliverance reigned by the Lord Jesus. Therefore, as by the offense in verse 18 of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one many shall be made righteous. Now, when I read that today, preparing and thinking about, meditating about tonight, I was reminded of a scripture. If you will, turn with me to Hebrews chapter number 5. So by the obedience of one, and we know that's Christ, is that not right? Shall many be made righteous. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter number 5. This is one of the texts that they say is hard text, maybe hard to understand or hard to grasp. And I believe there are many texts like that in the Word of God, unless, I've said this before, we need to understand that God don't get tired, but Jesus was wearied on his journey. You have to be able to separate the God-man. Amen. In the God-man, he became flesh. You understand that? And I believe what I'm going to read in your hearing tonight, again, would never be understood if we don't understand that God became flesh. You can get overboard. Some of these people, they say, well, if he was God, then the nails didn't even hurt. That's crazy. I said, that's crazy. I'll tell you what hurt worse than the nails in his hands, and that was his heart. Amen. His heart was broken. That's why he could cry, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Amen. That's why he could look over at that thief and say, today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. So look at verse 5 in chapter 5 of the book of Hebrews. I think this is important. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he said unto him, thou art my son. Today have I begotten thee. And he saith in another place, thou art a priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now, in verse 7, he said, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. That'll blow your mind when you talk about Jesus, God, learning anything. Amen? Unless you can understand that he was a man. At the same time, he was God. Amen? And he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect. I like that. In other words, he was the one that was able to cry, listen, I do always those things which please the Father. Glory to God, I've not missed it one time. Tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. That's our Savior tonight. And the Word of God said, being made perfect, he became the author glory to God, of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. I think that's important. When you look at that verse there, it says, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Thank God, Jesus. I don't know when it happened, before the foundation of the world, but there was a time when he said, Father, I'll go. Amen. Yes. Moreover, the law entered in verse 20 that the offense might abound. In other words, God allowed the law to come along so men could see that God is holy and they were offending a holy God. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Can you see the grace of God in the Old Testament? Can you? You should be able to. Amen. I believe it's the grace of God that God clothed Adam and Eve. Just starting right off the bat. I believe he taught them something about blood. Abel brought the firstling of the flock. I believe that the grace of God is evident in the Old Testament, pointing to Calvary. And now we're pointing back to Calvary. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I'm not proud of this tonight. Brother Larry, there was a time in my life when sin abounded. But I am proud of this. Grace come along. And my sin was no match for his grace. Amen. He forgave me. Gave me something to do. Gave me a purpose in life. I honestly believe that's why a lot of people do what they do in America. They have no purpose. They have no reason to live. That as sin reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. I read something today, and I'm going to share this with you. We might get done a few minutes early tonight. That'll be okay. I read this in John Phillips' book on Romans. He said, the grace of God is an exhaustive theme. Please listen to this. It'll bless you, especially right now with what our country's going through. The grace of God is an exhaustless theme. Sam Duncannon, a simple soul with very few talents, he had a great desire to do something for the Lord. So he made it his practice to cut out pictures from cards and magazines, and paste on those pictures appropriate verses or poems. And then he would give these simple gifts. That reminded me of you, Brother Steve. You're always talking about the simple things. I say that as a compliment, brother. Most people are running through life too fast to understand how much a piece of pizza means. Or a little baggie full of treats. Or a can of Vienna sausage. Amen. But simple gifts to those that he felt would be blessed by them. One day Sam came across a picture of Niagara Falls. But for a long time he could find no poem appropriate for this picture. Then he heard Sankey, that would be Ira, I believe, Sankey, sing a hymn. And the moment he heard it, Sam Duncannon knew he had found the poem for which he had looked so long. Sankey's hymn went like this. This is what he put on the picture of Niagara Falls. Have you on the Lord believed?
Still, there's more to follow.
Of His grace have you received.
Still, there's more to follow.
Are you picturing that water coming across the Niagara Falls? Oh, the grace the Father shows.
Still, there's more to follow.
Freely His grace bestows.
Still, there's more to follow.
More and more and more and more. Always more to follow.
If I told you that my heart's not heavy today, I'd be a liar.
But when I read this early this morning, God said it's still running over the dam. The grace of God. There's more to follow. It ain't never going to dry up.
Oh, His matchless, boundless love. Still, there's more to follow.
What did the songwriter in the line of Amazing Grace? It's grace that's brought us safe this far, Brother Gary. And grace. I'm going to rephrase it just a little bit, Brother Ralph, but it's going to take us all the way to the house.
Going to lead us home. Amen. Going to lead us home.
I hope you got a blessing tonight for being here. I really do. I appreciate your prayers. I appreciate the Apostle Paul, don't you? Trying to help the church at Rome. And without his epistles, we'd be lacking a whole lot as far as doctrine for the church. And I appreciate the Lord giving us this opportunity. How many believes there's more to follow? Amen. 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 Thank you for being here. How many's glad you come tonight?